All right, let's go back to Chicago and bring in one of our good friends. He's a wonderful sports writer. You know Chicago baseball cold, and we see him on MLB TV all the time. And that is Phil Rogers. Phil, how are you?
Marty, I'm doing very good. How about you?
Very good. We're enjoying the fourth out here. The Giants are in Colorado, so, you know, that's always going to be a challenge. But this National League, Phil, and look, you've covered baseball for a long time, and what's going on here of picking winners in the Central, I'll let you start with that. But the East is all the way up for grabs. The Braves lost to the Yankees again today. We've got the Dodgers and Max Muncy hitting home runs all over the place. And the Cubs starting to win again. They're starting to put some wins together. So how's it all looking to you on this July 4th?
Yeah, I definitely do think the National League is going to be the place to look at baseball in August and September. You've got maybe 10 teams out of the 15 still very viable for postseason spots. The American League, opposite. You know, I don't ever remember a year like this since the playoffs were expanded, where you look at the standings today and you may have your playoff field on July 4th. I mean, I don't know if Seattle could slide and Oakland could get in there and be fighting, but, you know, Tampa Bay, I think, is third in the AL East. And does anybody think they're going to get into that playoff picture? I don't think so. And the Indians might win the Central by 30 games the way the last month has gone. So, you know, I think it's really going to be interesting to watch the races. And you know, Milwaukee is a very good team. They were very good last year. I'm going to watch them closely at the trade deadline because they were conservative last year and not really going out and making a significant move. I think probably they will this year. I think they might be a surprise team to step in and make one of the bigger moves as they try to, you know, not just get into the playoffs, which would be a huge accomplishment, but, you know, they have to be looking at winning the division because there's such a difference between the division winners and that one-card wild-card playoff. But the Cubs have found their stride, and, you know, they play the Giants next week. I think the Giants would have been better off to have played them a month ago. I think they have, you know, they've kind of come together, which is their history under Joe Maddon has been slower starts and definitely better after the 81st game of the season. And that seems to be the case again. It looks like today they're on their way to winning their seventh game in a row. And, you know, they've been swinging the bats today. Javier Baez steals home plate. They seem to have it going on now.
Yeah, the Cubs are putting it together. I think they've won, I think, close to four in a row coming into today. I know they're starting to win games. Let me check the standing just so I'm clear. Five in a row coming into today. So they are one game behind Milwaukee. Phil, you brought up an interesting point. And that is the trade deadline coming up. I think if a team has a shot at winning the division, I mean a legitimate shot at winning the division, they will make moves. I'm not so sure if you make a lot of moves to get to that second wild card. I think there may be a real difference in that.
Oh, I definitely think there is. Because if you can avoid that game, it is such an advantage to then play, you know, if you play, if you happen to be the team in the league that wins the most, they play the wild card team, you know, that you're playing a team that has probably already used their number one starter, so you're going to maybe only face them once in that best of five division series. Huge advantage. So, you know, I look at the American League East. It would not be a surprise if both the Red Sox and the Yankees won 100 games. But one of those two teams is going to be playing a win-or-go-home game the day after the season ends, and that's an ugly scenario. So history has shown us that now with this one-or-be-done format in the wild card, I mean, I don't know if it's a good idea or not that you invest the whole season and then you have to win this game or you're done. But I think the short history of that has shown that teams – will no longer coast just to get into the playoffs and be happy to get into the playoffs. Winning, being a division winner once again kind of has cachet like it did in the past. So I think that's probably a good thing.
Yep, I see it coming. Phil Rogers with us of MLB, and of course we see Phil all the time, a longtime sports writer in the Chicago area. Phil, the White Sox, and again, you're in the town with two teams, and the White Sox during the summer usually heats up. They hit a lot of home runs. Do they have any veterans that anyone would be interested in? I know they've got a lot of young players that they'll probably keep, but what about the veterans? Is anyone there that may create interest?
Well, I think the guy to watch, really, Marty, is Vicel Garcia. Is a guy that is he hit 330 last year. He's not just a good hitter, but he hit 330. And I know we're not supposed to worry that much about batting averages. We're supposed to think about on-base percentage and the other metrics. But 330 hitters are still pretty darn rare. He was second in the American League in hitting. Missed a lot of time this year with a hamstring, but I think they were conservative and careful in bringing him back, I think because they wanted him to hit the ground running and then shop him for a possible deadline trade. And he had two homers yesterday. He's been basically on fire since he came back. He had had a poor April and was off to a slow start before the hamstring problem, but now he's got his OPS above 800. And is a guy that looks like, he's a decent outfielder, so he could go, I think, to a National League team looking for a right-handed bat and outfield help. I think, you know, he might be the kind of a guy that you could get two or three teams interested in and maybe get a decent return on. He's not a free agent until after next year, so to me, he's their one piece that could wind up being a buzz guy at the deadline. Dame Shields, who for much of 15, 16, and 17 was a hurting puppy, has sort of figured out how to pitch, you know, with an 88-mile-an-hour fastball instead of 92, 93. He's reinvented himself with arm angles, and he throws this Bugs Bunny curveball at 68 miles an hour and is able to use it as a weapon. And he's a little bit inconsistent, and I'm not sold that there's going to be a general manager of a contending team bold enough to put him into big games in August and September, but it's possible there might be. I mean, I've even heard him mentioned as a guy the Cubs could be interested in. Starting pitching depth is potentially an issue for the Cubs, you know, especially if Darvish was not to bounce back from his latest triceps injury and be back on track. You know, they might have some depth issues, and theoretically to the right National League contender looking for not a guy you're going to want to start against the Red Sox or the Yankees in the playoffs, mind you, or even the Cubs in the playoffs, but he might be a guy that you would you would want to put it at your number four starter, number five starter, and help you get to the playoffs.
You know, Phil, we'll see Quintana probably next Monday. He pitches today, so today is Wednesday, so probably see him on Monday. Then Montgomery, he's been the lefty. You know, you want to throw lefties, I guess, against the Giants, probably see him. And then maybe Chatwood, who always has pitched well against the Giants. But we're not seeing Lester, and we're not seeing Hendricks. So the Giants get a little break with that?
Well, you definitely don't want to see Lester. Last year he was not on that list of the top 10 starters in baseball, but he figured something out from one year to the next, as the really smart, good pitchers do. And he is just stubborn. I mean, he is a hard-headed guy, like great pitchers through history. And when something's not going right, he will figure out a way to make it better. And he's done that again this year, and he's definitely right there on the short list of the top five pitchers in the National League, I would think. So Lester's the guy you don't want to face. Hendricks has been off. Quintana's really been off. But they both kind of pitched okay, and they both have histories of strong second half. So, I think for the Cubs, like, those guys will be okay. But really, right now, Lester's the only guy that would worry you. And Montgomery's actually probably, if you look back over the last month or 6 weeks, he really didn't move into the rotation until Darvish was out. But he is, he's really wanted to start, and he's been way better than I would have guessed he would have been this year. He has been probably, next to Lester, their best starter over the last 5 or 6 weeks.
Wow, probably see him on Tuesday. Phil Rogers with us. Phil, one last thought for you on the lighter side. Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day. What's your favorite baseball holiday?
opening day.
Okay, all right.
Well, doesn't that feel like a holiday?
Yes, it does.
I'll take that. And how about you, Marty, with the uniforms? I get what they're trying to do, and I think it does go beyond trying to sell merchandise. I mean, I do think they're trying to honor the U.S. with all the red, white, and blue. But the Tigers are at Wrigley Field the last couple days, and you look at them, they look nothing like the Tigers. These uniforms they're wearing, you know, are nothing like anything I've seen the Tigers wear. Like, you know, if I was 100 years old, which fortunately I'm not quite there, I could say, you know, I've never in 100 years I've never seen them wear something like this. I'd be watching baseball over these holiday periods. Makes me long for the holiday period to be over and to get back to where the teams look the way they should. What do you think?
I can deal with it on one day. I think it's excessive to do it for 3 days. That's how I feel about it. For one day, can kind of work with it, but for 3 days, I can't.
I love the legacy of Jackie Robinson. But when I sit in the stands and watch a game, I kind of want to know which player is who. And when everybody's wearing 42, you know, it gets confusing. I mean, maybe not if you're at the stadium, but when you're, like, flipping around on the TV and, you know, I kind of like guys to look the way they're supposed to look. And, you know, maybe you're right. Once spot on the holiday, July 4th, Memorial Day, Labor Day, do something with it, but it gets a little overdone to me.
All right, I'm with you on that. Phil, always great to have you on. Thanks for taking the time. I know you're having a nice July 4th. How's the weather in Chicago? They had heat issues last weekend with a couple of teams. The Minnesota Twins had to take a couple of players out.
Yeah, I was at that game last Saturday, and there were four players that left with heat issues, three from the Twins with dehydration and one Cub with cramps. And it's still smoking hot here. It's been a really weird year where it's either been cold and rainy and the Lake Michigan fog that Joe Madden likes to talk about, you know, tough on hitters, good for pitchers, you know, and when that ended, it rolled straight into the dog days of summer. You know, there was nothing in between. So it's, you know, I think the heat index at Wrigley Field for the first pitch today was over 100, so
wow.
It's smoking again.
Wow. All right. Phil, thanks so much for taking the time. We'll catch up with you, and we'll see the Cubs on Monday. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Marty.
All right. That is Phil Rogers. Always a pleasure to have him on.